music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we continue our celebrations of the 20th anniversary of Janet Jackson's Velvet Rope by welcoming Latin Grammy-winning recording artist Rebecca Valadez to the show, who performed with Janet during the Velvet Rope tour as one of her backup vocalists and has fond memories to share. We also welcome East Coast transplant Bridges, who now lives in Toronto working diligently on his music career. But first, let's hear new music from Luis Fonsi and Demi Lovato with Échame la Culpa on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, Fonsi.
Oh, no.
¿Qué pasa, Demi? Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. Ay. Tengo en esta historia algo que confesar. Ya entendí muy bien qué fue lo que pasó. Y aunque duela tanto, tengo que aceptar que tú no eres la mala, que el malo soy yo.
No me conociste nunca de verdad. Ya se fue la magia que te enamoró. Y es que no quisiera estar en tu lugar, porque tu error solo fue conocerme.
No eres tú, no eres tú, no eres tú, soy yo.
Soy yo.
No te quiero hacer sufrir, es mejor olvidar y dejarlo así.
Así, échame la culpa.
No eres tú, no eres tú, no eres tú, soy yo.
Soy yo.
No te quiero hacer sufrir, es mejor olvidar y dejarlo así.
Así, échame la culpa.
Okay.
She's busy, busy losing her plot. Busy, but her mind is shot. She doesn't really want it to stop. She just says now.
Hey there, sister. That bottle leads to hell. I ain't drinking that honey, can't you tell? John Doe's a swimming, tears ship is sinking. Got no soul to sell. So hey there, mister. Throw some luck our way to the wishing well.
With your head, go with instinct, the sweet or the dead. True love is out there,
second she walks in. He's busy, busy losing the plot. Busy, but his mind is shot. He doesn't really want it to stop. He just says now.
Hey there, sister.
Sam Felt with Wishing Well on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and right now we're happy to welcome Latin Grammy-winning recording artist Rebecca Valadez, who was one of Janet Jackson's backup vocalists on the Velvet Rope Tour and has gone on to have a successful career in music, including portraying Selena in the 2000 musical Selena Forever. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for thinking of me. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we could not do this without getting as many people that were part of the tour and part of the project on as possible. And so I'm so happy I was able to reach out and get a hold of you. And I guess I wanted to start off just for people who might not know about your career itself. How did you get singing and what do you sort of view as your first big break in the world of music?
Well, I've been doing music since I was 11. I started off as doing acting and beauty pageants, oddly enough. And then I did my first national tour when I was 12. And I did my first international tour when I was 13. We opened up for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back then. I don't know if you know who.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a cartoon back in the day. They make motion pictures now. But back then it was the bee's knees, man. We were an opening act for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And then I got picked up by a Tejano band. For those of you guys who don't know what Tejano music is, it's the kind of music that Selena used to do. They have cumbias and rancheras and stuff. And since my last name is a Latin-sounding last name, everybody just naturally assumes that you sing in Spanish, which I have the capability, but I've never spoken Spanish. So I still don't speak Spanish, but I do enjoy the music. And I wound up recording a couple of Tejano albums myself. The first one actually got nominated for a Grammy in 2003. But yeah, I've had a long career. I'm retired now.
You'll probably never be retired. I'm sure you'll find your way back to the microphone at some point. And I guess my next one would be, how did your path actually cross with Janet to get the job on the Velvet Rope? How did that actually go down?
Well, at the time, I was 17, and I was trying to get a record deal out in California. I had a management team, and one of the guys on my management team, his name is Jeff Mullen. He was friends with Rex Salas, and they had already had auditions for the Janet tour, but they had asked me to come in and audition anyways. So I went in, I met Rex, and I thought it was a no-brainer that I wasn't going to get hired. So they already have somebody, and why am I coming in here, and I'm just a kid, what do I know? And apparently, I guess the girl that they had already picked up, she had gotten a record deal, and she wasn't able to go on the road. So they decided to pick me. I had to do a secondary audition over the phone for Rex. Over the phone, he wanted to make sure that I had the range to do some of the songs from the Rhythm Nation. Actually, the Rhythm Nation song itself, there's a really high harmony part, and if I couldn't get it, I wasn't going to be going on the road. And I did it over the phone, and like a week or two later, we were rehearsing in a sound studio in California. It was the coolest thing. I got to tell you, I grew up listening to Janet. I think everybody who's listening to this did. And my brother, when he was in high school, he was voted like best dancer. And he wound up choreographing a routine to Rhythm Nation for all the girls on the dance team there in high school. And we were all huge Janet fans. And to get that part, I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows what it would be like to just live your dream. That was it. That was my dream.
Wow.
And I did it. I ended up turning 18 when rehearsals started. Where did my child go? Sorry, I'm a mom of three now. I don't know if you can still hear me. Are you
yes,
still there?
Yeah, you got it.
Come here. I have three kids. And
I like them.
I did face a little bit of criticism when I decided to have kids because everybody thought that I was, like, quitting my career. But what most people didn't know was, you know, I had done everything I wanted to do a long time ago. I mean, one of my dreams was to perform or even just meet Janet Jackson. And I did that at 18. So check that. I won two Grammys. Check that. I was on off-Broadway musical. Check that. I did backup vocals for Selena on her album. Check that. Everything I wanted to do, I did it already.
That's fantastic.
I don't mind when my babies cry.
Can you talk to us a little bit about when you actually got the news? Do you remember where you were and what happened when? Was I guess it was Rex that maybe called you to say that you got it?
Yes, he's the one that called. I was staying with my friend, my cousin, David Infante. At the time, we had an apartment in Hollywood, back when Hollywood was gross. Hollywood's really awesome now, but back then we lived off of Hollywood and Highland. And we were just a couple of musicians trying to make it in the business. And when I got that phone call, I believe David had flown back to San Antonio to be with his family for some sort of holiday over there. And so I was by myself in my little tiny, super small apartment in Hollywood struggling. And I called my mom, I called my dad, and I said, you will not believe what just happened. My body was shaking. It was just it was freaky the way things happen.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those freaky things, but that it just lasted a whole year. I think we wound up ending up that tour with Janet in Hawaii. My parents came to visit me out there, along with a few cousins, and it was the ride of my life. I haven't really done anything that cool since. I don't think. I know I wound up going back to college after that. I mean, again, I was just a kid. And Janet was so sweet, and everybody on the tour was really nice. Even the road crew guys were nice. Stacey Campbell, the other background vocalist, she was just as nice can be. I guess I had this misconception that everybody in the business was rude, and I had met some unruly members of the music industry before I came across that job with Janet, and they totally turned me around.
Can you talk to us a little bit, Rebecca, about what Janet is actually like as a boss and leader, and what qualities, I guess, does she have that sort of stick out to you?
She's just really sincere. She's very soft-spoken. She's incredibly polite. She never says anything rude. Everything that she says is thought out. She doesn't just speak on a whim. That's the one thing I noticed. It just sounded like everything that she said she meant to say, and she just seemed very, I want to say wise beyond her years, but she was, I think, in her 30s. I guess it's 20 years ago. So, yeah, she was in her late 30s back then, or early 30s. I'm not exactly sure.
Mm-hmm. Early 30s,
but
yeah.
she just seemed really wise and sweet and soft-spoken. And whenever she spoke, everybody kind of got quiet because she doesn't speak loud. So we just sort of stopped and listened. And I always thought, why can't I do that? I'm very, very loud speaker, and I laugh a lot. I think that comedy is sort of like my self-defense mechanism, and that kind of got me in trouble a couple times on the tour. But again, you know, when I just turned 18, I'd never been away from my mom before, but it was nice to know that if I had to go somewhere, I was going with people who I knew had my best interest at heart. We had a really great team, the road management. We called him Uncle Dave. He was just, I didn't know anybody who could just retain so much information. And I always thought, just as a backup vocalist, that I was sort of an insignificant member of the tour, but I hated asking for things. But when I did, Dave just made me feel like I was just as important as everybody else. And in the grand scheme of things, I guess I really was. But because I was so young at the time, I didn't feel like I deserved the kind of attention that they gave me. And they were just so nice. Like, they really made you feel important.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is Latin Grammy winning recording artist Rebecca Valadez. Make sure you follow her on Instagram at Grande Valadez. Can you give us an idea how you view Janet as a vocalist? Because I'm sure you know she often gets tons of commentary with regards to her dancing ability and how amazing she is. But not a lot of people talk about her vocal prowess. So how do you view Janet as a vocalist? And what was it like actually working with her, you know, on your parts and on your vocals?
Well, Janet's very shy. And she has some insecurities about her voice, which are completely unwarranted because she is an amazing vocalist. The thing that I noticed was, you have to understand when she started out in the music industry, she started out working with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. And Jimmy Jam, the first experience that I had with her was practicing for the Rosie O'Donnell show back then. And we were listening to some of the songs that she recorded. She did a lot of the background vocals herself. And the harmonies are so just amazing. You have to know what you're doing to do those harmonies. And you have to have a good ear, and you have to be able to hear and sing simultaneously, which is really hard to do. I know that because I've been teaching music since 2000. I've been teaching at the Network for Young Artists, and that's the one thing that hardly any vocalists can do. They cannot harmonize. They can sing in front, they could do the leads, but nobody can come back and do harmonies. Literally, like 3% of my students can do harmonies. And it's not an easy thing to learn. It's not an easy thing to teach. And Janet knew it. And I'm sure she had plenty of experience growing up with her brothers, because obviously they had to do their 3-, 4-, or 5-part harmony with the Jackson 5. But man, she was just on it. She was on pitch all the time. She has a really unique, beautiful tone. And she's a professional. So, like I said, everything she does, it's well thought out. Every harmony is, it was almost like scientific. But that's Jimmy Jam influence, man.
How was rehearsal like? Because I know, obviously, she had a lot of rehearsal time needing to spend with the dancers, because obviously that was a whole thing on its own, just being on stage and the staging and all that stuff. Was it rushed rehearsals with her, or did she obviously make time to make sure that, was she tight with the band?
Well, yeah, in the beginning, we had two separate sound stages, and Janet was busy rehearsing with the dancers in one of them, and Rex Salas had the band and the backup vocalists in the other room. And it was interesting because with Tina Landon, the way that she choreographs, she needs whatever the band plays, it needs to be consistent. So we would rehearse something and we record it, and then we'd send it over to the dance hall, and Tina would come back and say, look, I choreographed it so that this movement would hit on this beat that I heard on the recording that's on the album, and if y'all don't do it, the choreography doesn't make sense. So y'all need to do this part. And they just kept going back and forth and back and forth until it was like perfection. So that every movement the dancers made coincided with a sound that was coming from the band. And then once we got all that together, then we all started rehearsing together in the same room. And that's when the magic happened. And again, this is all of this was going down on a huge soundstage where they film movies and all sorts of stuff like that. Every time we walked out to go have lunch, we'd see somebody going in to film something, some sort of TV show or a commercial, and one of these huge sound stages. This is the sound stage, I believe, that I can only think of the song from the stinking movie. The da 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 da. I mean, you probably don't know what that
is.
Yeah,
I'm blank.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the original sound stage for one of the biggest movies of all time, of which I cannot think of the name right now. But that in itself was really cool. Just knowing what the history of where we were just practicing. That's where movies were made, and we were just using it to practice. I was like, that was so cool. Man, the places that we went to, we performed for the Sultan of Brunei. We performed, like 200, over 200 cities in over, I don't know how many countries. My passport, I had to buy extra pages for my passport. It was just the coolest thing ever.
Can you tell us what was your favorite song to actually perform on the Velvet Rope Tour?
Oh, well, that was The Rhythm Nation. That's a song that introduced me to Janet in the beginning, that whole album. And then we did Black Cat, I thought was so awesome, just because the band got to jive out on that. God, that's such an old school term. I sound old right now. everything that she does is cool. I mean, the album that she just released, I don't know how many hits she already has on it, how many people can do that? How many people can have number one hits on every single album they've ever released over how many decades now? Like four decades, three decades? I don't know how anybody could manage to do that. I just did the one album, and that tired me out so much that I almost didn't want to do music anymore. But she can just keep going and going and going. And I know she did face some criticism, especially recently on Twitter. Somebody was, I guess Kim Kardashian had commented on how great her body looked after just recently having a baby. And I don't remember when she had her child, but it wasn't like yesterday.
January.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, Janet, from what I remember, she worked really hard for her body. And she was not the thinnest person when we started off the Velvet Rope tour. If you have video footage of her when that tour started and by the time it ended, she had lost a lot of weight during the course of the tour. And she did that by eating a whole lot of small meals during the day. She was very diligent. I think the only time she cheated was, you know, when women all cheat on their diets, when we're on our period. We have chocolate or brownies or pasta. It just has to happen. You have to have those things. But yeah, she always had some sort of green smoothie or something in her hand. And when she worked out, she didn't run or overexert herself. She was always in fat burning mode, which means you're going to walk at an incline the entire time, which raises your heart rate, and it doesn't fat burning mode. That's what you want. Like, she knew everything that she needed to do because she has the crew to help her do it. And I have no doubts that she has not had any liposuction or plastic surgery or anything. The girl works out. She looks good, and it shows.
I agree with you. What did it feel like, Rebecca, when you were on stage each and every night, and you know Janet would call out the band member's name, and your name would get called? How did that feel?
Oh, that was the coolest when we went to San Antonio. You know, they almost canceled the San Antonio trip. And I begged, I was like, please don't cancel us. There's something you got to know about people in San Antonio. We don't buy tickets till the absolute last minute. I guess they weren't selling as many tickets there in San Antonio, and they decided just, you know, to cut their losses. And I was like, please, please don't cancel San Antonio. We did cancel a few stops on the way. I believe we canceled what was supposed to be a couple of dates in Spain, one date in Italy. But it seemed like all of the Latin countries were the ones that we canceled. But I think it's just because we don't buy tickets to the last minute. I guess we're procrastinators or something. But we wound up performing in San Antonio. And you have to understand, at 17, coming from the lack of, I did have lots of experience as a 17-year-old because I had been working since I was 11, but they were all either in the Tejano industry or, you know, beauty pageants or small stuff. So when I told all my friends from high school that I landed the Janet Jackson tour, nobody believed me. So when they all bought tickets to come and see Janet perform and they saw me on stage and I waved and she says my name, which is like the coolest thing ever. The fact that she even knew what my name was, pronounced it right. Even my high school, like from middle school all the way to graduation, my high school never spelled my name right and never pronounced it right, which is ridiculous because it's so easy. It's Valadez. But they would always call me Rebecca Valadez, and that's how my report cards read. And I would always ask them to correct it, and they never did. It's not Valadez. It's Valadez. And Janet got it right off the bat. She knew what my name was. Nobody had any issues. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And for her to say my name on that stage every night was so cool. So whenever anybody gives me slack about, no, you weren't performing with Janet, you didn't know anybody, blah, 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 I just showed them the YouTube clip. And so there you go, in your face.
That's awesome. That is so cool.
It's usually family members that say that. They're like, nah, be quiet, Rebecca, you don't know.
From the outside looking in as a fan, it really did seem like the band and the dancers and the road crew, like all of you were super tight as a family. Was that actually how it was, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah, it was. People had they would lose family members or they'd go through some sort of drama or trauma, and we would all be there for each other. And you can't help it when you're touring with the same group of people for a long period of time. You have to get along. And I think Janet knew that, and the people that hired everybody knew that. I think that's one thing that people don't understand about the music industry. It's not just about your talent or what you can bring to the table, but you have to have a strong work ethic, and you have to have the kind of personality that can mesh well with everybody else that's on the road. And that's very important to Janet. Some people did get fired because they were a little bit too... I believe one crew member exchanged backstage passes for some sort of physical gesture mm-hmm. from a fan, and she found out about it. She's like, that guy got fired. He's out of there. You're not allowed to be rude to any of the fans or any of the crew. You will get kicked out. And I'm pretty sure that that's how it goes with everybody, but in the back of my mind, I don't think that's how it is with every tour. Not everybody's as nice as Janet, and not everybody holds the kind of standards that Janet holds. And she holds all of her, not just the band members and the dancers, but all the crew and everybody accountable for that. When you go out there, you represent her, and she has a particular message that she's trying to stand up with, and we all have to stand there with her. And it takes that kind of, I don't know, I always used to tell myself that if I just did my job and kept my mouth shut, that everything would be fine. But if you don't express your opinions, then how will people know that you belong there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She picked the people from that tour, not just because they were talented, but because she knew that they'd be great members of her on tour family. And that meant a lot to her, and it meant a lot to the people that were there, too. And I'm sure that the fans saw that.
Oh, yeah.
So that was important.
We did, for sure. And I wanted to ask you this. I'm not sure if you heard the news or not, but Michael Andrews passed away earlier this year. And yeah, and we're dedicating this this series of interviews to him, because he was, I had him on my show actually before, and I would have obviously had him on to celebrate the 20th anniversary as well, and tragically he's not here with us. But I just know when I spoke to him in our earlier interview, like, I could just tell in his voice and in his expressions, like, how much he loved being a part of the Velvet Row team. So I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Michael, and what was it like sort of being around him?
Well, I got to tell you, Michael was very nice to me. Of all the, because the dancers were, you know, Janet was A group, the dancers were B group, and the band was C group. Not in that order, as if we were any less than anybody else, but we all had to keep to our groups as far as like tour buses and such. But of the B group, Mike was the nicest to me. I really enjoyed his company. I liked what he had to say. And there was one time when I used to experiment with makeup a lot. I never really had makeup before. I know that sounds weird because I was a teenager, but the only thing I ever wore was maybe a little bit of lip gloss and mascara. My mom never let me wear like dark colored lipsticks or dark colored nail polishes or anything like that. So when I went on tour with Janet, it was like full on experimentation. I colored my hair weird colors. I was like, everybody's doing it, I got to do it too. When this tour is over, I got to go home and go back to being boring old Rebecca. So I had done this look with his green eyeshadow that I bought from Makeup Forever. And he told me, and I guess it was just the way that he said it. He says, oh, my gosh, Rebecca, you look so beautiful. Whatever you did to your makeup, you're just stunning. You're so beautiful. And no man from that point on has ever made me feel as beautiful as Mike did in that moment. And I think it was just his character. It was so sincere. You just believe whatever he said, and you knew it was the truth, because how could that delivery be anything but sincere? And that's the thing I liked about him the most. He just, you know, he had a young spirit, but he had all this experience in life behind it. And to be doing what he did at the age that he was, I mean, and all the dancers were young. I was the youngest person? Maybe Mike was maybe a few months younger than me. I'm not sure, but we were all either 18 or 19 or 20. And to have that kind of responsibility, you know, it changes a person. At least that's what my mom said. She said, you're not the same person you were. I think that's the thing that sticks out most for me and Mike, was that he's just so sincere. And you knew that whatever he told you, it wasn't a lie, because it came from the heart. He was just a really sweet guy. I'm sorry about what happened to him, and I know it must have been a long time for him to suffer. But, man, you know, God takes the good ones, I guess.
Yep, that's true. Well, I want to thank you for sharing that, because so many fans obviously love Mike so much, and that was so beautiful what you said and shared that story with us. So thank you for that. And I did want to ask you, when was the last time you actually spoke to Janet, and what message would you like to pass along to her today on the, you know, the 20th anniversary of the Velvet Rope?
To be quite honest with you, the last time I spoke with Janet was in Hawaii. At the end of that tour, I never spoke to her again. I wanted to. Going back to college for me was what was on my mind, I guess, and I didn't bother to audition for any other projects after that. And I had, unfortunately, changed my phone number because I got a new cell phone, and I wound up losing out on some jobs because of that as well. But I haven't really spoken to her, but I have followed her on social media and watched some of her interviews, and, you know, everything that I knew about her then, you know, it holds true. Every time I hear her speak, she's always so eloquent and so soft-spoken, and she means what she says. She doesn't just say something to hear herself say it. She says it because it means something. And I wish her all the best. I know she just had a baby, and like me, she waited a long time to have kids, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. Janet has done everything she's wanted to do in this life. If she wants to have a baby, she darn well has the right to. And if it wasn't working out with her ex-husband, then it's her responsibility to make sure that her baby is in a safe place. And man, moms have so much responsibility. Oh my gosh. But at the end of the day, every decision that you make is for that family and for their future. And I wish her all the best. And I know that she's got a lot of great people around her to support her, especially her family. And I know she's going to be okay. And I bet she's really happy with her baby now.
I'm sure. She seems very happy in all the pictures, that's for sure. And Rebecca, on behalf of the fans, I just want to thank you for your part in the Velvet Rope Tour and the project, because as I've said to some of the other dancers that I've been interviewing and other, you know, band members, you guys changed so many people's lives. Like, it was just such an incredible show. And, you know, I saw it 4 times. I would have seen it 25 times had I had the money. And I just want to thank you, because you and everyone else that was a part of it made it so special for all of us. So on behalf of all of the Janet fans, thank you so much for everything you did.
Thank you.
That's 2-time Latin Grammy winning recording artist Rebecca Valadez. Make sure to follow her on Instagram at Grande Valadez. Coming up next is Toronto recording artist Bridges, but first let's hear from Janet Jackson off her Velvet Rope album. It's Every Time on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
I told you I would wait. I said I'd wait for you to come my way. But weeks and months and years don't feel the same to me.
That's Montreal's own Milk and Bone with Deception Bay on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and thank you so much for spending time with us on the program this week. And up next is East Coast native Bridges, who actually moved to Toronto to further his burgeoning music career. We recently caught up with him as he passed through Montreal promoting his single, which has been racing up the charts in the wild.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly Alexander, and very excited to welcome to The Kelly Alexander Show, Bridges. Hello.
How are you doing today?
I am so good. And so I should say that your first name is John, but Bridges is the deal.
Exactly.
With no vowels.
No vowels. It's
so
2017.
Explain.
No
so
vowels.
Is that why it was just 2017? It's time to move on from the vowels?
We don't need them anymore. We've evolved past. We got emojis, right?
Yeah, it's true. We got emojis.
So what do we need vowels for? No, the name Bridges, mm-hmm. I'll give you like the short version.
Yep.
Comes from, there's a bridge in Toronto that the subway goes across.
Okay.
And it's really cool because when you're on the subway and you're approaching this bridge, you're like, you're looking around, it's all like these gray walls, it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out on this bridge and all of a sudden you see the whole Toronto skyline in front of you.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the times when I've lived in Toronto for just a year now, and I'd be out doing studio sessions and stuff, and I'd be coming home along the subway line,
mm-hmm.
be like, wow, exhausted. And then all of a sudden, you just see this whole Toronto skyline in front of you, and I found that really inspirational.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, you are from the East Coast.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask, how has being from Newfoundland influenced your music and your songwriting?
being from Newfoundland is such a blessing in really growing an appreciation for music, mm-hmm. and in like really like heartfelt music, I find.
Okay.
And this isn't to discount any of the music that doesn't come from Newfoundland and the East Coast by any means, but I really feel that out home, people really, they connect with the music, and it's been so like songs that last for decades and decades, and like you're listening to the music that, you know, your grandparents, great grandparents have been singing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's kind of an interesting degree of storytelling and just longevity in the music out there that just you just learn to appreciate without really knowing.
Okay.
And I think that gives you a unique perspective on the craft, which is really cool.
Now, when it came time to make the decision to move, because as you mentioned, you're in Toronto, mm-hmm. Did you ever think about maybe going to Halifax first? Because I obviously have quite the scene there as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, and I've got a lot of really good friends and collaborators in Halifax mm-hmm. that I love working with, and so much good music is coming out of there.
Yeah, it's like Ria May, like Neon Dreams,
Classified. Yeah. Oh, man, the list goes on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Quite the scene, yeah.
I definitely thought about it, and mm-hmm. I've got a lot of friends, and I like the vibe of Halifax. I just want something a little like more different.
Okay. Because
Halifax is a lot similar to St. John's, where I was for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try something completely fresh. And Toronto is very different.
Very different.
Than St. John's, Newfoundland, mm-hmm. which has been so cool. I love it.
Did you ever think about going to, because for example, I have interviewed Ria May a bunch of times, mm-hmm. and I know that she actually lived here for a bit. I'm not sure if she's still here or not, but she said that she found Montreal, like just, she connected to it quite mm-hmm. a bit. Did you ever think about staying here, or were you worried about the language situation, or just Toronto is where you were going?
Toronto is kind of my goal.
Okay.
I actually, Ria is a friend of mine, and she told me about her time in Montreal, and that tempted me for sure.
Yep.
And I love it here. I mm-hmm. was mentioned to you before that I've been here a couple times, only ever in the winter, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I need to get here in the summer because I love the energy.
And you have to come to Oceaga.
Yeah, that's what I... And Lorde was here last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so sad. And Tove Lo got on stage with her.
Yeah.
And I was very upset when I saw
August.
That video. I was
next
like,
August.
What was I? What am I doing not in Montreal right now? Yeah, I love Montreal, though.
Okay,
I'd love
cool.
to come here, if not for, you know, to live at least for a couple months and really, like, soak it in and let that be reflected in music.
Now, you had mentioned when we were speaking sort of off air that you have gone to Los Angeles quite a bit to write and writing sessions. Do you think you're ever going to head south of the border and stay?
I definitely want to try it.
Okay.
I don't know. The situation in the United States is mm-hmm. very different than ours here.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the artistic energy that happens in Los Angeles. I don't know if I could live there long term.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try it because
I
love writing down there.
You should speak to Sean Hook.
Sean's a friend of mine as well.
I know he lives down there now, and so he'd probably have some good advice for you.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us about In the Wild, which is a single that we've mm-hmm. got going, and it's doing extremely well across Canada. Was it a song that just sort of came to you, or were you laboring over it for a while?
So In the Wild has kind of an interesting story behind it. It was written about a year ago mm-hmm. in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my old writing partner were down there just doing a writing trip, and we met at a random party. We met these guys, Joshua Bartholomew and Lisa Harrington, who wrote Everything Is Awesome for the Lego Movie.
With Tegan and Sarah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they are just the embodiment of that song. They're the most amazing people in the world, and I will sing their praises for the rest of my life. I love them. And we just clicked at this party we met at, and we said, let's get together and do a writing session while we're here. We showed up, and they had all these ideas. We brought it together, and it just became that song, and it was amazing. It was during that, I was kind of going through a transition period. I was just in the process of moving
mm-hmm.
and kind of figuring out what my next step was as a songwriter and as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had released another single this February while I was working with Joshua on the production of In the Wild.
Yeah.
Kind of just like sending files back and forth on what we liked, what we didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of happened. I realized like this is the entire project. This In the Wild song is really dead center where I want to be as be a DGS, as Bridges. And then so we finished it up, and I made the music video with my older sister. We shot it on a budget of $0.
Nice.
And released it, and all of a sudden it's just kind of, it's blowing up, which is
crazy.
It's crazy to see.
Have you been in the car yet when the song has come on?
I haven't.
Okay, you haven't?
No.
My God, you
But I don't drive.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I have a rental car right now, and I've been hoping, but I've missed it every time.
Have you been somewhere where the radio's played it? And
yeah, I was in Ottawa all day yesterday, and two of the stations are playing it there. I was like, where is the song? But,
Okay, so one day is coming.
Hopefully, maybe as in Montreal or something.
Yeah, it would be good, but as you're driving out.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about where you see yourself going in the next, like, we'll say 12 months to 18 months, because I know in the music industry now, that actually is a long time.
Yeah.
So do you plan to tour a lot? Like, are we getting an album? Like, what's happening?
So the EP is coming in March of next year, mm-hmm. along with a new single. And then I believe, and this is speculative, but an album probably in the start of 2019.
Okay.
And along the way, I'm going to be doing a lot of live performances, hopefully across the country. We're putting together a plan right now. I'm really excited to take the show out on the road.
Nice.
Live performance is a really big passion of mine, and I really want to bring these songs to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who do you look to musically on stage? Like, what favorite concerts have you seen over your lifetime where you're like, this is awesome?
I saw Coldplay this summer, and that was incredible. One of my favorite live acts that I haven't actually seen in person is 21 Pilots.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I really take a lot of inspiration from them and from a band called Mute Math, who you might have heard of.
Nope.
But they do this really cool, they integrate like really heavy drumming stylistically.
Okay.
And there's a lot of like cool light interactions and stuff like that, and I really react to that, so that's what I try and bring as well. Really theatrical.
Who would you like to collaborate with if you had like your dream come true? Who would that be, and why?
That would be Ryan Tedder.
Ryan Tedder
from OneRepublic.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
100%.
And would you ever want to focus on songwriting just for other artists, or do you think you're going to do both?
That's actually what I've been doing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of my bread and butter right now is songwriting production for other people.
Okay.
While I was doing this, and then this song kind of has started to take off, and I'm like, sweet, I get to really push this project and be the guy singing the songs. I love that.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, what one thing do you want, you know, my listeners who are actually listening around the world, which is cool
because
we're online and the podcast and all that, our YouTube channel. What do you want them to know about Bridges?
What do I want them to know about Bridges? That's a heavy question.
That's a heavy question to finish off.
I want you to know that I've got your back no matter what. I try to project positivity in my music and my life, and that's kind of what this project in particular is all about. Is positive energy, and that's what I want to sing about, that's what I want to tell people about, and I know you've got my back and I got your back, so
awesome.
That's how we make the world a better place.
And before I let you go, where do people follow you?
And you can follow me at bridgesmusic.com, that's BRDGSMSC, because we don't need vowels anymore, and my Twitter, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all that is at BRDGSMSC, Bridges
awesome.
Music. No vowels.
Are
you kidding
That's
me? Using vowels? Come
no
on.
No vowels for 2017.
We're not crazy people.
Thank you, my sweet. Thank you for doing
this. Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. It
great.
Was great.
So Bridges hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
You hesitate, sit and wait for the world for your heart to break. But I know in your soul there's a tiger that can't be tamed. And here we are, we're standing at the door. We all want something more. Let's go. Take a walk in the wild. We can climb to the top of the tallest trees. Come along for the ride. Take a walk in the wild with me. You never know what you might find when you take a walk on the wild side. Take a walk in the wild. Take a walk in the wild with me. This is fate, and the stars always get their way. I can see you and me, we were born to be running free. No, can't deny we're lost souls, trying to find ourselves out in the world. Let's go. Take a walk in the wild, we can climb to the top of the tallest trees. Come along for the ride, take a walk in the wild with me. You never know what you might find when you take a walk on the wild side. Take a walk in the wild. Take a walk in the wild with me.
music on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Why can't we do this?
One Bit and Noah Cyrus with My Way on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hi, it's Kelly, and a big thank you going out to our guests this week, Rebecca Valadez and Bridges. We also want to thank you for tuning in, and a big shout out to my producer, Adam Brisson, for making our lives so much easier. Don't forget that you can tune in and join us all the time by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Of course, you can grab our social media handles that way. And also, we'd love for you to sign up to our newsletter, tinyletter.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.